session with the City of Newport, the City Council, to order. Welcome all. Let's go around and do introductions. Just for the record, I'm Doug Hanna. I'm Chair of the Board of Commissioners, and we'll go to my left.
Terry Thompson, with the Commissioner.
Wendy Engler, Newport City Council.
David Allen, City Council.
Steve Rich, City Attorney.
Mark Salem, City Council.
Sam Grimagoo, Mayor Newport.
Pete Margobo, City Council.
All right. Welcome all.
And
Dean.
And where's Dean Sawyer?
Dean, yeah, sorry.
Spencer.
And Spencer.
Wayne.
Let's go around the room. What's the difference? Go ahead.
Jamie Russell, Jail Commander.
Adam Shanks, Administrative Lieutenant Sheriff's Office.
Curtis Landers, Lincoln County Sheriff.
Kristen Whitaker, Assistant.
Sam Hall, Newport Resident.
Rebecca Austin, Health and Human Services.
Nicole Fields, Health and Human Services.
Gloria Tucker, Deputy City Recorder, Newport.
Carla Perry, Newport Resident.
Frank Keltner,
Lincoln County Fair Board.
Here.
Derek Tokos,
Senior
Board
Committee. Did we miss anybody?
Casey Miller, PIO.
Yes.
PIO.
Thank you, Casey. The one with the camera. All right. We've got a pretty extensive agenda, and we have an hour of time. If I may make some suggestions, and certainly the mayor, you're welcome to chime in. There are a couple of items where we've got people that are in the room that are here to present information. If you're agreeable, I'd like to do the marijuana tax revenue item first, and then follow that up with the update on the health department programs, because, again, we have people here that are presenting information, and then that frees them up. And afterward, thought maybe we'd try to cover a couple, three items that were discussed last night at the City Council and throw into that review of the Lincoln County building and parking lot plans along with the Commons update, the Spring Street right-of-way, and county-owned land within the city limits. I think we can probably cover those fairly quickly, if that's okay, Mayor, Councilors.
Sure, that's great.
And then we can pick items on the agenda as we wish. Mr. Dave, you have questions?
No, I was just listening.
Yes, Mark.
So I was going to say this during my introduction. I am on the agenda later as a county employee, solid waste recycling.
Right.
So I understand our tight agenda, but if we can, even if I had just a couple of minutes, it would be more of an update of where we're heading to try to deal with this issue. And because there's just simply not time to get into the details, it's really complicated.
Well, why don't we do that right after we do the four land items? If that's agreed.
All right. Sure. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay.
And I'd like to mention a little bit more about this better.
Okay. All right. So let's start with the marijuana tax revenue update. Nicole, I understand, is that you?
Yeah, I think or Wayne might kick us off.
I'll call introductory
okay.
You can have a handout that we can
Nicole,
start
passing
around.
Can
Lincoln County is similar to, I think, most of the major cities within the county in that we get a local marijuana tax that was approved by the voters. In addition, Lincoln County, as well as the city of Newport, receives money from the state marijuana tax revenue. Both of those funds are not required by law to be dedicated to do anything. There are some other funds, state funds, that are dedicated for specific purposes, but at least the general tax revenues that are shared with the city and the county and the local taxes, and the way I understand all the ballot measures that were passed, do not require that money to be spent on any certain thing. We were approached by our Health and Human Services Department to say that while we have discretion, and they understand we have the discretion to determine how to fund that, they would like to propose a pilot project across the county to talk about some prevention and education programs around drugs, marijuana being focused, but I'll talk a little bit about what I'm hearing back. I tried to start the process, and the board actually said that's a great idea. We'd like to budget some money to do that on a pilot basis, but we'd like to see if we can get the cities to partner in with this, since we're all recipients of these particular funds, and it might be a good way to utilize some of the funds. And obviously what we need to do is make a proposal that has specific components, you know, what we're going to do and how we might measure the success of whatever we do out there. I was trying to kick this off by, I do meet with Spencer and the other city managers on a monthly basis, just to, at our last meeting, we talked about it a little bit to see whether or not this is something that the cities are interested in. The managers all invited us to come make presentations. We probably won't do it at all the joint meetings because they won't happen before the budgets really get underway. So we'll do it sooner than that. Unfortunately, Spencer had other obligations that day, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But since we had this joint meeting, we thought we'd do a presentation to you. So I'm going to turn over to Nicole to talk about what it might entail, and then we can see if there's an interest to do it. We'll talk about how we might set up some funding for this.
Sure. So just to lead off a little bit, I gave you a handout to take a look at what the problem really is in our county. Some of the stats that I'd kind of like to point out on here is that only 50.2% of our 11th graders haven't tried marijuana. So that's a huge number. That's half of our 11th graders have tried it, half have not. Why this is a problem is because the brain is still developing at that age, and marijuana can have drastic effects on the developing brain. Brains are still developing until about 26 years old. So having this many of our youth trying marijuana can be really, really harmful to our county. When you compare this to the 8th grade use, it's about 87.9%. So that's a huge jump from 8th to 11th grade. We're seeing that's really where we're kind of getting into trouble with a lot of youths trying marijuana. And when you compare it to tobacco, it's a huge, huge difference. It's not even close to the percentage increase with tobacco. If you look at the 30-day statistic, we have about 20% of our 11th graders using marijuana within the last 30 days. So that's one in five using at least once a month. The bottom chart here is our perception of harm comparison, and I always like to say perception of harm is like a golf score. You want it to be low. So the lower the perception of harm would be, the more likely someone is to use a substance. So you can see that this is a percentage from 0 to 100, and you have about 50% of the 8th and 11th graders in 2015, and that's actually going down for our 11th graders. So our 11th graders are seeing marijuana as less and less risky. A statistic that I didn't put on your flyer, but it's only about a third of our youths are getting any kind of substance abuse prevention in their curriculum at school. So a big part of our proposal is to talk about what we can do with these additional tax funds in a school setting. So we'd partner with our Prevention Education Coalition, PADA, in the city of Newport to kind of look at what we can do to partner with our school districts and partner with our youths to improve the culture around marijuana and get some education out there. So some of the things we're suggesting right off the bat are some marijuana education and prevention marketing campaigns. The really neat thing about these is we could target them to our youths in Lincoln County, in Newport, and kind of look at how we can make those more specific for a rural area. We could do materials in Spanish to our pregnant and breastfeeding moms, to parents in general, or to different ages of youths. We could conduct some marijuana safety town hall meetings, one of which would be in Newport. And that could kind of look a lot of different ways, but it's been done before where parents are able to come in and ask questions of prevention specialists and talk about how to really educate their own children about this. We can look at some policy change. We have options to do some work in school with some student-led campaigns. And then prevention and education programming in all of the schools. So that one in three or one-third number would definitely increase with some additional funds.
One of the things that in our discussion, maybe just added in our discussions with the other entities, and this is a problem that's statewide. I don't know if you've heard about this, but we have just straight dollars. We really don't know how the allocation formula is. We know how the formula is set up to work. We don't know where that money's coming from. They will not give us any information. In fact, we had to do our own little digging to figure out what the local tax was and compared to what the state tax was. They simply give us a blanket, here's how much money you get, and that's it, a check that passed on. And that's been a problem. A lot of jurisdictions are trying to figure out where this is coming from, you know, how the money's broken out. We received a lump sum of money, an initial payment that covered a period when the tax was at 17% and for a number of months, and then the tax and the distribution formula changed, and then we got another amount there, and it's all lumped together. That's been a real problem here. I can tell you this, we know what we've got total to date, and I suppose you know what you've got total to date. I was a little surprised that the cities, at least when I talked to Lincoln City and Walpole, who gave me some numbers, it was a little lower than what I expected. And I can tell you right now, we got about $140,000 so far is what we've gotten in distributions. We cannot predict what that tax is going to be in the future, just based on the information we've got right now. Our formula is based on actually, it's not a population-based, which cities are. It's based on grow operations canopies and then the number of outlets, retail outlets, and other kinds of producers here within the county. I did find a new number. It says all of them within the county. Our distribution is compared to the rest of the state, but including those within the city get the count in the county's total amount that we get. So I don't know how much money you guys get, and that would be important for us to know so we can set kind of a dollar limit for what we might be looking for to ask. So.
I don't know that number offhand either. So.
Have you looked at a model that has been working and what the success rate is of that?
No, because this is so new.
There are no models that are existing?
Not that I'm aware of. I'll defer down to these guys to say models that show.
Yeah, I wouldn't say from this tax revenue stream because this is just starting to get dispersed. But there are definitely a wealth of evidence-based prevention curriculums that target youth and marijuana prevention.
And a pretty good success rate?
Yeah, they have a lot of different ones that have been very successful, and we're lucky because there are a lot of those, because while marijuana is becoming legal in some states, it's always, or not always, but it's been illegal for youths for many, many years, so we do have some evidence-based curriculums.
Well, wouldn't some of those curriculums be similar to smoking prevention and be able to show the same kind of positive results or similar results?
They would be similar. The interesting thing about those is we really started to kind of push some of those smoking curriculums in the 70s and 80s when we really started to get a lot of evidence about tobacco. The legalization of marijuana is so new that our perception of harm is so much behind the times on that, that a lot of the focus of the curriculum is to kind of increase youth's knowledge of and perception of harm about marijuana. So it's kind of like where we started with smoking prevention, and then now it's kind of developing.
So, next steps.
Well, what we were really looking for is some kind of indication there's an interest in partnering in this. No specifics on
details
dollar amounts. I think what we've been looking back towards is the money that's been received today as a pilot project, and start small. And see where it goes and when it might work. If that's something the city's interested in, then we'll work with staff to put together some kind of proposal.
Mr. Saylor.
I think this is a great deal. Obviously, education is part of it. Enforcement is the other part. I just wonder how much the state public health is going to be putting into these projects statewide. I don't know, and you probably don't know either yet, because it's an emerging thing. When we first talked about the marijuana tax at City Council a couple years ago, I brought up the fact that law enforcement will be impacted by this new law. Mm-hmm. There's going to be new products coming down the pipeline, similar to a breath test. I'm sure there will be some kind of a test where the field officers will have in the field so they can test a suspected marijuana driver. And I would like to see some of those funds used for those things. Not 100%, but I think that this is a good tie-in, but I think we need to not forget the law enforcement part. And maybe the sheriff has some comments on that. He probably has more knowledge of that than I do. But I did read a couple months ago in Oregonian that the marijuana DUI rate has gone up 64% in the state, and that impacts both Newport Police and the sheriff's office dramatically.
Derek.
So you got to remember, also in this, there was consequences to law enforcement before. Particularly, there was so much money going through the DA's office and everything doing enforcement on these. I'm not against enforcement, but just remember, this isn't something new. One of the reasons this was passed by the public was because it was so impactful on our budgets in enforcement.
But there will be an increased cost for our law enforcement because there will be new technologies coming out which will cost them more money in addition to what they're already spending on the drug firms.
I'm just saying there was cost before. This is not just a new thing added to it. And I haven't seen anybody talking about reducing because of that, but just be careful. There are several things that need to be gotten out of this money.
Well, and ideally, if you really look at the bigger picture, there's probably about 9,000 things that this money should go for. And how do you chop that up? And which is, what's the priority level?
So, Doug, we've got 14 items on the agenda. We're 15 minutes into an hour meeting. My suggestion is Spencer prepares reports for council meetings. So we've got a consensus to look into this. Why don't you just have Spencer work with staff and then we'll take a look at it through his report at some future meeting, and then we can discuss it in more detail at this point, because right now we really got a lot of items to deal through.
I agree
with right now. So
I was just asking for what you wanted to do.
No, well, but Spencer usually prepares a report. And then we'll take no commitment, but we'll take a look at the details.
Okay. All right. I was just going to point out that further confused by the fact we got $100,000 the first time, $40,000 the second. So, having said that, let's move on to update on health department programs, including the Sheriff's Mental Health Program, Children's Mental Health, and other community health programs, and then we'll get to those real estate items that we discussed, or were discussed last night. So, Sheriff, is that to you, or?
Well, I guess it's my understanding it's probably talking about the Stepping Up program that Commissioner Paul and I, sure the commissioners have adopted. And I'll probably turn it over here in a second, but things are going well. We still have had monthly meetings with our LPSC, Local Public Safety Coordinating Council, and Lieutenant Russell chairs that committee, and I should be able to talk more on that, on what progress. So I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Okay. So as the sheriff indicated, we do hold a monthly LPSC Mental Health Committee, which is a subcommittee of the main branch of LPSC. We have many different entities and partners around the county that attend those meetings. And we're on a roll. We're on a real positive move in the right direction. Our mobile crisis is, they've hired some positions.
Yes, correct, we have.
Rebecca?
We have.
So we are really excited about that. That's really going to help not only the hospital, but law enforcement and the jail. And so we're going to be, I'm guessing, going to have further meetings to discuss that whole program, but that is very exciting for the county.
And that was a big gap in trying to hire people, too, if I remember right.
18 months. 18 months, and we finally just got our first people on board.
So. And that was a critical component to getting going. Our sequential intercept mapping identified that as one of the number one concerns that we needed to address, and so that's great news.
So that's the group, the monthly LPSC meeting group, has really focused on the Stepping Up initiative through Bill Hall, as well as the mobile crisis and just partnerships and ensuring that communication is continuing. Specifically in the jail, we're continuing a lot of different programs. We're always looking for volunteers that want to come in and do more programs. Dennis Buckmaster, inmate counselor, has reached out to the community many times, and we've been very fortunate to get a lot of community volunteers to come in and provide some programs. Our Seeking Safety program has been a really, really successful program. We have volunteers that are doing that program, offering for males and females, focusing on substance abuse and PTSD cases, and again, been a very popular and successful. We've been starting a mindfulness-based stress reduction class dealing with trauma for our female inmates, and parenting classes for our men and women, kind of through a joint partnership with the Samaritan House. It's an extensive program that allows them to start while they're in custody. If they don't complete the program before they're released, they can start right back up in the community and work through that program, and hopefully work towards the ultimate goal of getting their children back. So that's been a really positive program as well. Problem gambling, again, working through the health department. They have some clinicians that are coming over and providing those classes to our inmates. We're doing art therapy class, a lot of stuff, as you can see, that we're offering. And then we have a lot of the traditional AANA church services and prison fellowship. So really trying to improve the quality of the individuals once released back out into our community.
But could you maybe touch on the respite housing and that situation?
Yeah, so does everybody know that we bought a duplex, I believe it was, over on Cottage Street, and we're just about to let the bids to remodel and bring that up to the codes and the rules of the game. And so those will be, if I understand right, for people that they're letting out of the state hospital as respite for them to sort of get on their feet and be able to integrate them back into the community. I don't recall how many days, 60, 90?
I think it's under
30.
30 days, not a long time, but so we're going to be remodeling that and hoping to get that up and running. I believe this fall is the projected deadline.
That could also help some of the burden of them going to jail, too, so I think that's a positive aspect of this program.
Right. How many people will that handle? Six or seven.
Well, I think they're great programs because it tends to provides opportunities for those individuals to break the cycle, if you will, and rather than just incarcerating them and expecting a different behavior and the outcome, there's some programs to try to encourage different behavior. Mm-hmm. So, any questions on that? Not.
Dental health.
Oh.
Yes. Dental? So I'm not sure. We don't have a dental health program. We have dental vouchers at the, which now behavioral health is giving to clients as well as at the community health center. Hmm. And the CCO, you know, the people that manage the Medicaid, they have one of their metrics for this year is dental sealants for kids. So whenever there's a metric, we know that we're going to make improvements on. So that is going along, and I think they've got programs in all the schools, and so they provide sealants. But other than that, I don't have any dental news to tell you.
Yeah. Keep smiling.
Keep smiling, right. Yeah.
All right, if there's nothing on that, let's jump over to what's the second item on the city agenda, and that would be the update on the Commons master plan process. Now we can tackle some of the other real estate-related issues. I know this was an item that was discussed at last night's city council.
It's actually the Urban Renewal Agency. We spent an hour last night.
Urban Renewal Agency. Right. So I made a quick comment or questions from...
So you did a great job.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I appreciate, again, as I said at the outset of that, I appreciate the participation of the city, because the city is a partner in what we're trying to do here and a stakeholder. And in the process that we've undertaken so far, the master plan refinement process in there, and there was a lot of input provided by city representatives, and Councilor Allen is on the committee itself, as well as Carla Perry is in the audience here today. And, of course, Frank Gilman is a fair board member who's been involved in that process, too. So a lot of people weighing in on the activities there. I did provide some information to the council in terms of written form. The board's gotten that same information and has that available to them, too. And so last night we answered a lot of questions. We had a lot of good questions for us to look at. And the process is moving forward. And we will continue. I appreciate the idea of making sure that we check in on a regular basis with the council. And the way we'll check in with the council is through the Urban Renewal Agency.
Right.
I mean, we can do these joint things. That's great to do that, but I don't want to reiterate everything we said last night. But we'll make sure to get on, and I think that your city recorder was going to send me the update or the date of the next Urban Renewal meeting. I think we talked about in April.
Well, the next Master Plan Vision Committee meeting should be on March 22nd.
Right.
So we have our first meeting, first and third Mondays of the month. So our first meeting in April would follow that meeting, and I think that would probably be appropriate for an update because we would have more information from the Master Plan Vision Committee as well as any further comments we've received, and then we can get the update.
Right.
As an urban renewal agency, along with the updates that you're already planning for the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners, and I think urban renewal should, as you mentioned, as we noted last night, should be one of those three groups that you provide updates to.
One of the things we did kind of ending up last night is talk a lot about the timing of different things. While urban renewal has identified some assistance in this whole process here, we got to make sure the timing of when the funding might be available ties in with the funding that's available and when forward with the projects for redevelopment. So there's a lot of timing issues that will come into play with this, and we'll work on that. So if I might move, unless there's any questions on this.
So one follow-up question from last night, because you weren't certain about the status of a particular map that was in front of you. I obtained a copy, I noted last night from Carla Perry, a map, property tax map, with the map tax lots of the fairgrounds property indicating in color certain areas that were subject to a reversionary clause, meaning it had to be used for fairgrounds purposes only or could revert back to the prior owner, and areas that are currently used by the fairgrounds that are not subject to that reversionary clause, meaning the county owns it, but apparently the county was to use it for other related purposes or other purposes, it might not have to revert back to the prior owner. You weren't sure about where the map came from. I had assumed it came from the county assessor's office and had been prepared by the county assessor's office. I think that has been confirmed.
Yeah, I talked to Carl after the meeting.
Okay, and you weren't sure where it came from. You thought it might have been done by someone outside the county offices. Yeah. But my only follow-up question is, you were going to take a closer look at the property layout of the fairgrounds facility, and I would hope before this process concludes, you'll have a good idea of what property is subject to the reversionary clause, which property is not subject to it, which property is city-owned, which property is county-owned, because I think that might play into some subsequent discussions we'll be having that I don't want to get into right now that have to do with the use of property adjacent to or near the fairgrounds, and I think that's a topic of discussion I'm getting a lot of questions about right now. I don't have any answers, but I think the urban renewal agency is probably going to want to have some more clarity on the property itself before we reach any final decisions.
Okay. Okay. Well, we certainly want to work together.
Can I move on? Maybe just move on to
economic development projects.
The ones that are kind of connected. The other one, we spent some time last night with Spring Street.
Spring Street.
And the city council, or the actual urban renewal. No, this was a city council meeting.
City council meeting
was which?
We forget.
No wonder.
I know.
I'm confused. I wasn't there. So
city council got it.
We don't know sometimes. We just forget.
On
last night.
The focus was on an enforcement action that's occurring on a piece of property that's located within the city, but which is we've identified a county right-of-way that runs through the property that's added some complexity to the issue out there. And I think the thing that we can report on that is at the conclusion of that particular matter, what we decide is that city staff and county staff will get together and look at some options for how we can address those issues that are there. And I'll be scheduling some time with Derek and Spencer and probably Tim. To talk about the options we've got and come back to you with some recommendations on how we might move forward on that particular project. And I don't know if there's anything else we need to add to that, but that was
I think it's important, again, that get the two jurisdictions working together to try to find a good solution.
Right. So,
any questions on that?
No.
Okay, want to move on to... what are the other ones?
The homeless shelter.
Okay, well, okay. Well, let's. Mark, you brought up
sure.
Solid waste.
So I'm going to be brief, and I'm mainly going to kind of outline some things to be looking forward to seeing. It's real easy, and we saw this back in November, December. For most of us, in Oregonians or people who moved here, recycling is very near and dear to our hearts and has been for decades. Unfortunately, here in Lincoln County, we're 1% of Oregon's population. And Oregon is probably, I don't know what percent of the western half of the country. And so then you take into play that over the last number of decades, depending on which recyclable material you're talking about, and in this case, plastics is a big issue. Anywhere from 65 to as much as 90% of that material has been going to China. And since the late 90s, it's been going to China in the form of mixed bales, right? So imagine you're a business, and all of a sudden somebody announces to you, in about 6 or 7 months, you're going to lose 60% of your customers. What do you do? So we went through something like this back a number of years ago, and it was referred to as the green fence. Mm-hmm. And China, in fact, put their foot down and demanded some modifications to the quality of the recyclable materials that were being shipped. And back then, the same sorts of stories that you heard now, or more recently, ships being turned around at sea full of product, ships locked up at docks that couldn't unload their recyclable materials, some materials going into landfill. All those things happened, but the main difference is the industry was able to adjust. It wasn't as severe, but it did, if you actually track back through the history, kind of set a lower bar for the value of a lot of recyclable materials at about the same time we were going through the recession. So this difficulty in the recycling industry has actually been going on for the last 8 or 10 years. Fast forward to this last summer, and we started hearing rumors about a new item referred to as the Green Sword. And the early indications were is that China was going to be potentially making severe additional restrictions on what recyclable material they would accept, plastics in particular, but potentially even fiber material. And the reason fiber is so important to us in this particular area is we have things like Georgia Pacific Mill that helped reduce the amount of impact of the sort of recessionary impact that could have happened to recycling and some other things. And so it's like, you know, first we had to adjust to, and I'm mixing this up a little bit, but here recently we had to adjust to the fact that GP Mill no longer burns woody waste. That's a huge part of our recycle stream. We had the situation where we had just started recovering with the recession. Values for recyclable materials were low. Then all of a sudden comes along this announcement, 60 or 70 or 80%, depending on who you are, it's not going to be there anymore. And so it's really hard to say this, but in essence, we have no control whatsoever over what's going to happen. So back in November, December, when the more formal announcement was made that, in fact, China intended to implement this ban the 1st of 2018, the news started coming out. Current contamination rate, again, depending on what you're talking about, in these bales, so imagine these huge bales, was anywhere from 8 to 12%. China's new expectation, and it varied over time, but it was in the range of 0.3 to 0.8%. As a scientist, I will tell you that's impossible. I mean, literally, a single item. So things started happening where literally bales of materials that presumably were actually in pretty good shape, you would find a single straw or, you know, a few things in there and they'd be rejected. Okay, so that's the bad news. So what do we do about it? Fortunately for Lincoln County, because through the Senate bills that passed through the process over the last couple of years, one of those was a major new funding package for the Department of Environmental Quality. And included in that bill was the ability to reinstate the solid waste grants program. It had gone away. It wasn't an opportunity that local governments such as the county had for a number of years. That came into play 2 years ago. We instantly submitted an application to write an all-new solid waste management plan, but a more comprehensive materials management plan. So, and the difference is materials management takes into account more of a total lifespan, cradle-to-grave type of concept for recyclables. Our Solid Waste Advisory Committee, which is made up of all the city representatives, as well as our three local hauler companies, were sort of midstream through writing that plan and looking forward to, you know, some pretty good recommendations. Boom, the green fence thing, right, hits. So one of the things you will see, this plan will be coming to each of the cities sometime in the next couple of months. There is a late-in-the-game chapter that's been written on the China situation that will be included in there. We don't have a lot of solutions other than one of the ones that sort of will say, you know, continue to monitor the situation as it evolves, because it's literally evolving every day, and then react as possible. So what does all that mean? So to put it in simple terms, a lot of the discussion has gone in the direction of, well, if we don't really have a choice of recycling everything, and even if we did, it's wasteful recycling, because plastics, for sure, you know, 4 and above are going to end up in the landfill anyway. What do we do about that? Well, maybe we actually pull back, focus on the things that we recycle really well, including debris, fiber, metals, whatever that list might be. And in the end, we actually end up doing a better job in terms of total recovery than we were doing when we were trying to handle so many materials. And oh, by the way, a lot of those materials we're actually paying money to get rid of them now. We're not being paid for the recyclable material. We're actually paying somebody to take it. So that's just kind of a nutshell. So the materials management plan. The county is currently working on sort of an interim news release. We're working very closely with our haulers, and I want to make no mistake here. this is not, you know, you can think whatever you want of their operations over the last several years, but this is a really huge deal simply from a business perspective. They're all in terms of working with our SWAC and the cities, trying to figure out how we're going to navigate this situation, particularly when we don't get to choose very much of that. It'll be coming out in the form of the materials management plan. It'll be coming out in the form of ongoing updates from the solid waste, or the Solid Waste Advisory Committee. And then finally, one of the really big issues for the contamination, there's two of them. It's not what you would think.
We're running out of time.
Real quick. It's not the curbside. It's transfer station and multifamily. DEQ has actually recently announced a task force that's looking at multifamily. So stay tuned.
Okay, good. It's a complex situation.
Very complex.
And with a big country on the other side of it. All right, Wendy, you mentioned a homeless shelter. Discussion?
It was on the agenda, and I don't know anything about it.
It's actually came from the city. I'm not sure who.
I don't know. It's not on our agenda. I didn't put it on there, but I've got something that we can talk about tonight for a second.
Well, this may be a quick agenda item, but
we need to make sure that we keep that going because we don't have one.
Right.
And there's definitely a huge need, and of course, it's nice that the county is allowing the commons to be used as a warming shelter, except kind of temporarily. They can't do it on Fridays because of the farmer's market. But I think it's something that we all in this room need to regularly talk about to find a solution to getting a permanent shelter in the county.
Just to follow up on these points, so even though it's happening through the fairground facility, I think you use it on nights in which the farmer's market's not sending up. A lot of people come to the city council during public comment and actually ask us about what's going on with respect to this issue. And at this point, we're saying, well, there's nothing we're doing in the city, but the county has this facility. So there's starting to be kind of an overlap with people coming to you, people coming to the city. What's the solution? Is it going to be a county solution, a city solution, a partnership, a private-public partnership? I mean, these are all questions that people are asking us, and I think the reason why it's on the agenda is probably need to start putting our heads together to figure out, is there a solution? And if there is one, what's the approach to make it happen? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we're at right now.
I think just on that particular issue also, we had some discussions, and there's kind of a model that's been put in place in Lebanon, Oregon. And the council has talked about bringing over some folks from Lebanon to talk about how they've done a kind of a comprehensive effort with county, city, state, and other entities in order to really bring everyone to the table to talk about that issue and identify pathways towards trying to address that. So I would ask, when we get that set up, we'll send an invitation out to the county, and it'd be good to have a number of folks from the county that can participate in that discussion as well, to see, you know, if there are some common ways that we can approach this issue.
One follow-up to that. That discussion is now surfacing during the master plan process for the new Common Commons project. So we're starting to hear that issue come up through public comment, only because the fairgrounds has been utilized as a homeless shelter. So all I'm saying is, and Frank has been at the meetings as well, and I was at the most recent one, and that issue is popping up. There's really no solution at this point. So it's kind of being raised in a number of different venues.
Well, certainly something we want to be aware of as we move forward.
Right.
It sounds like we've got some opportunities to work together. So, okay. I'll let Terry go next. Well, next, but before I let Terry go, do we want to do affordable workforce housing status report again? That was on your agenda.
Mm-hmm. We can touch on that real briefly.
And then we'll do Terry's update.
And just because we are real limited on time, the city took certain legislative efforts to create some incentives for housing in 2017. We certainly appreciate the county commission for taking actions to help with the other end of the process with the potential tax incentives that could be provided for these projects. And I think
One of the things that we are planning to do, we had a meeting of the elected officials from across the county, city, county, tribal, on this issue about a year and a half ago. And some of my colleagues have asked me, including Wayne, have asked me to, you know, to try to pull that same group back together and do a little update about where we're at, in, whether it's in Lincoln City or Newport or Yahats or any of the other locations. The tribe was very interested in continuing to participate in these kinds of dialogues as well. And that's something that I'll work with the city council on, but we would like to host another follow-up of that group. And I'm trying to remember who was there from the, I know you were there, and we don't know how I was there from the, from the county. And
Bellman was, too.
What's that?
The woman.
Caroline.
From the Economic Alliance.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So anyway, we do want to continue those discussions among the elected and appointed officials from the various entities in Lincoln County, just to keep everyone informed about what's happening and to take a look at pathways to try to tackle the housing crisis we have in Lincoln County.
Do you have a status, Wayne, on what's happening with the money that we put into that housing program that we have today? Do you know if there's any houses been purchased or any down payments been made,
sure,
any of that money?
About the land trust? That's a nonprofit that Bill Hall sits on that board. I don't know whether he sits on the board as a commissioner or in his private capacity, but he's a board member along with some other folks, and that money, it goes to them, and the county has participated in helping fund it, but they are not the actual ones running it. It's a combination of Lincoln City, Lincoln County, and Newport. And Bill's on the board. It's a nonprofit board, but I'm not sure what Handy Words means there.
Yeah, but there's no update on what's happening with that.
They have an ad in the paper.
There are things happening. Well, I thought there were two properties in Newport that were being looked at.
Derek, do you Derek
that on the board? No? What?
Yeah, I can speak to it briefly.
Derek's on the board, too.
There are three properties that they're looking to have acquired in Newport, two in Lincoln City as part of this program. They had three people lined up. Unfortunately, two of them, through their own personal issues, a divorce and those types of aspects, are no longer pursuing acquisitions. So they held another outreach meeting with 11 families. It was earlier this month, and they have a number of candidates that they're looking now back through the process. So nothing's been acquired as yet, but they are working people through the process.
And I think, you know, when you listen to some of the comments from Spencer and Wayne and Derek, you know, it's a complex problem, but at least these are small steps, and I think they're concrete steps. So it's going to take time, but we're making progress. Any other thoughts or comments, questions on that?
If I could, you know, Spencer, when we do that larger meeting, mm-hmm. we may be able to provide you some information about the market rate units that are coming through. We have a tremendous amount of development that's going to be breaking ground next year. I think it's important of multifamily, some single family, OSU student housing, that be on the table. So
yeah, no, I think that would be something we'd want to talk about.
And another player that we didn't invite for the last one is the Housing Authority of Lincoln County, mm-hmm. who should be at the table. They actually gave us a presentation at the county recently about some projects that, and kind of the gist of what they were saying is they're moving away from, they've got a portfolio that includes a lot of single family houses, and they're actually going to sell some of those and develop some multifamily units. Mm-hmm. I think one of them's actually here right down the county way.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's some other things.
I think someone was there from the Housing Authority.
I couldn't remember if there was.
I think there was.
Yes. Oh, I knew there was.
We made sure they were invited.
Joanne Troy was there.
They were there.
Just need to make sure the new person is on board.
Right.
We just, I think the letter is still in draft form, but we're preparing a draft, a letter in support of that initiative by the Housing Authority. The other thing, just going to make one last comment. To me, when we look at the housing situation, I like to see us focus on the supply side, which is what most of this conversation has been about. The demand exceeds the supply, so everything we can do, all the money that we can spend to create more housing, I think is going to be more effective in creating a balance. Some of the programs that issue on the demand side, I think, just makes the situation worse. So I'm glad to hear the conversation about trying to create more units, and with more units, the housing becomes, at least under economic theory, more affordable. So, Terry.
Okay, you get the letter in front of you. And basically, this is from the Coastal Caucus. This is the key part of it. If you'll remember right, you had a local committee that was formed some years ago, got involved and said, we support this project. The fishermen found a location that they support the project. It's been OSU working through all this. Well, the $40 million, basically, from the energy people is being granted, but we need the match. So we have basically 2 weeks left in the session. We have to go to Ways and Means, and they have to get it probably in the Christmas tree bill, so it's not like a normal piece of legislation where you have a bill. But this letter is key because it says the Coast Caucus supports it. Arnie Roblin and his office has been a pusher ever since in this, and it made it a priority. I think Nombert's even got on board on this case, so he's... it looks like, anyway, it's a real chance we're finally going to make the breakthrough on this. We've got the plans, everything is in place. They have a new manager, and I just give his name. He was the guy that worked on the oyster stuff that's going to be in charge. We spent two days over there. Today they were there for one full day. With the PUD and all of us, OSU, Jock Mills, who's their lobbyist, meeting and shaking hands and trying to convince people. But this is an important piece of legislation because the names that are on this are the key players to making this happen. So Newport may be recipient of another big project in the ocean out here.
Is there anything the city should consider doing?
Well, I think it wouldn't hurt. You get such a short period of time. It comes up Friday for a hearing at Ways and Means, but you could email over something to Arnie Roblin's office, or just call Arnie Roblin's office and ask and say, is there anything we can do? Because they're the key players now, I guess. And just maybe just an email that says, you know, we're 100% on board. Whatever percentage you are.
All right. Certainly, potentially.
Where's the site, Terry? That
5 miles straight west of the harbor. And actually, the cable comes in down below Seal Rocks to the land. It'll be the first site like this, test site, looking at the grid. Because one of the big challenges of wave energy is the fact that you can generate the electricity, but then you have to modify it so it can fit into the grid system. And that's probably as important as anything, that we actually have devices that can figure out how to massage the electricity so it can
operate. Just one final comment. Terry didn't say it, but it's in the letter. The support in this community has been about research and development. The commercialization of wave energy is an issue that has been brought before us at the state level through the Ocean Policy Advisory Council and others, but that has met with a lot of resistance at the local level and it still will meet with a lot of resistance. So when we talk about wave energy, just to be clear, it's about research and development only. The development and commercialization, I should say R&D, the commercialization will have to happen elsewhere where it's probably more appropriate. Off the Oregon coast is probably less likely to happen, but the R&D can happen.
If we can get the devices to work, there's a lot of places in the world that need clean, renewable energy that are paying high price for hydrocarbons. So we can export the items to other places in the world. It's critical. Plus, it makes us an exporting.
Yeah. Anything else on that, Terry?
No.
Is there an agenda item the city council would like to pursue? We've got about 10 minutes left. Sure.
I'd like to know about your health building. I understand you have plans to build, consolidate all your health services and rebuild where the current county courthouse is. Or that's what my question is about. What your plans
I can
discuss
if you'd like. And that's, you know, you may have heard that we actually, maybe to give a little background to this, when we went into this particular project, we were very excited about what was going to happen. Seeing what's happening in healthcare, in Oregon and across the nation, and saw that we were going to be an important player in the provision of health care.
A little louder, please.
I'm sorry. We were going to be an important player in the provision of health care, at least in Lincoln County. And then certain things happened, and especially in Washington, D.C., and it threw things into a flux. And we saw attacks on the provision of health care, especially to those who can't afford it. There was indications that the Affordable Care Act was going to be gutted, that a lot of the funding streams that we were counting on to be able to provide the services out there were basically under attack. We weren't sure what was going to continue on with that. At the same time, there were things happening in Oregon. There was some provisions that were put in place by the legislature to continue Oregon's commitment to funding, and then that was going out to a vote. That it got referred out to the voters. We now know the results of that because it just happened just a little while ago. But there was a lot of fluctuation in the funding sources for doing that. We asked the consultants to help us do the best crystal ball we can to say what's going to happen in the future. What is going to be what can we depend on? What do we need to look at in order to make sure that we can, if we're going to move forward with all these services, that we can stabilize the funding and make sure we can continue in the future. They came in and did a part of financial analysis. We got some information on our mix of payers that we'd never actually been able to see before under our funky local budget laws. We all comply with but don't really tell us much about the business side of the model in there. And the result of that particular activity was that we need to do more work. So we're not by any means abandoning, and in fact we still have it as a priority to move forward with new facilities and consolidated facilities. That's the way you provide health care, but we need to get a better handle on how we're going, what the right size of those particular activities and services we're going to provide, and how we can provide stabilized funding, so we got more work to do. In addition to the site itself there, we ran into a little bit of an environmental problem with that site, and we still have not yet fully resolved that. The county used to have, many years ago, back when I started here, we had our fueling station on that site. And we got rid of the tanks. We thought we'd accomplished everything, and then when we went down to look at the financing for this, we discovered we did not have what's called an NFA, or no further action, report from DEQ. We did some testing on the site. DEQ was not completely happy. I mean, we've been doing monitoring testing. There's really nothing there. It's not near any potable water. It's not really an issue. But we could not get an NFA issued. So we still have work to do on that particular site. So, there's things we have to do there. There's some other options that we're looking at that have come up for maybe alternative locations. And then one of the things that also has come into play as we do our own facilities long-range planning is that we've got a placeholder, and the legislature has just made available in the last couple of biennium money. They're very concerned with court facilities, and they've provided some bonding on a statewide basis actually for redevelopment of courthouses and new courthouses, and they've looked at things such as earthquake resiliency, some other factors, space needs, that kind of stuff. And we've been dutifully filing paperwork with the state there, and we're actually in line to potentially get some funding from the state for the 21 to 23 biennium. And as it's gotten closer, we've been kind of looking at what that might mean in terms of what they would contribute if we, at some point, we're going to have to build a new courthouse. It's an old facility, and it has issues. It has issues both in terms of the amount of space that's available there and its ability to withstand, when we finally have one of these big seismic events out there. So we're continuing to explore the possibilities of getting some funding there, look at a package, what that might entail, and how much state participation could be there. And it could be a significant amount of money that the state makes available. We've seen that with a couple of projects that have come out in the first go-rounds with this. So we're continuing to look at this in the context of overall plans, and it may change up in terms of where we look at developing things, but that's part of what we're going to engage in as a strategic planning process to see when and where and how we can build those facilities and move that forward.
Thank you.
Doug? Spencer, can we talk about just a couple minutes on Mid-Coast Water Planning Partnership?
Sure.
As you may be aware, the city took the lead in pulling together a countywide watershed group to really take a look at the use of both domestic water for the various cities and other water systems along the or in Lincoln County, the industrial water used by Georgia-Pacific, and the need from an environmental standpoint to protect the environmental quality of our various rivers and streams for the important role they play in production of fish for that's, you know, we're very dependent on in this particular area. City has taken the lead. We've received a lot of funding from the state. We've received some foundation funding. The last phase is coming up, and there's going to be a hole in that funding. And one of the things that we would like to do is consider seeking some assistance from the various entities that are involved in the discussions of this effort. And what we'd like to do is try to get something to you within your budget time frame for your consideration to potentially help bring us to the conclusion of this this process. That's going to be a huge amount of money, but again, that's a request we'd like to make to the county.
The only way that I'd support it is if you put a timeline on it and they get the job done. This is taking so long in the processing.
We've
never even got to the point of having a discussion about how we're going to deal with future water management. We spent a lot of time doing everything else but not getting to the issues.
Yeah, and part of the issues, there's been some delays because of funding in this process as well, where we had to stop the process for a while to get back to the funding. But we'll certainly talk about the calendar and what it would take to get, you know, to the end of the process.
That's, to me, I think we've got to set an end date and say you've got to have it completed by this time, or otherwise I know that I'll...
Okay.
Say, no, I think you got to have results.
Okay.
Spencer, what's been the timeline so far? When did it start, and how much long you anticipated it will require for conclusion?
Well, the key for conclusion is securing the rest of the funding.
Well, assuming the funding is secured, so I'm making that assumption.
Yeah,
when did it start, and when do you expect conclusion if the funding is secured?
Yeah, I think the start of this was probably a year and a half ago. Seems that about right?
Right.
And the first phase of this was really to see if there was a collaboration from the various water systems to pursue that and kind of bring that together. The conclusion, I think, would be, I'll verify this in a letter because Tim's not here today to speak on it, and he's been taking the lead. But I think the conclusion would probably be in the next 9 months if we had the issue funded. So, but I'll get some specific information back because I'm shooting a little bit from the hip.
So my point was, if you're asking for money for the next fiscal year through the budget process, you're assuming that it will be completed in the next fiscal year.
Correct.
I mean, so that will line up.
Yep.
Okay.
A lot of people put a lot of time into this.
So no, I'm just kind of
taking a long time.
Getting clarity on that.
Mark, did you have a quick question?
Well, I was just going to point out, we know this at the county level, but basically Perry, Commissioner Thompson, and I are the two county representatives that signed the charter. And in fact, as your staff, I'll just plan on sending along a little more detail, because Spencer said it's really Tim who knows more about this.
He does.
Okay, if we go by that clock, we've got 2 minutes. If we go by Apple time, it's 7 o'clock. But I guess one of the items on your list was Pacific Seafood redevelopment plans. I know I've had some meetings with Pacific Seafood. Representative Gomberg has been involved in those meetings. I don't have a lot of updated information. My understanding is Pacific Seafoods is working to find some grants. Potentially, I think, at least short-term, they would have some kind of kiosks and educational information about activities relative to maritime activities, seafood harvesting. But I don't have anything to
read. Yeah,
there
does.
Derek, I'm sorry. You're updating us. Good.
Put it on there. They approached the city, actually two times. This is the second time they approached the city to see if the city would agree to serve kind of as a conduit for filing a grant application with the Economic Development Administration for planning funds to determine what appropriate public-private partnerships might be for that site, you know, this business incubator type concepts, direct access to the water, what kind of infrastructure would be needed to support those types of public-private partnerships. They're in the process of pulling some materials together so we can file that grant application, and they have indicated that they have talked to you and are going to be pursuing economic development funds that you may have available to help kind of couple that with the private funding that they're bringing to bear to match up with EDA's resources.
So I've gotten up with them a couple times in business council meeting in Portland and Sabu, and we mentioned our little economic development fund, but it takes somebody like the city or the port probably to team up with them to apply. It's only a small amount of money, but it's that'd be the partnership. We have that kind of funds available, and we talk to them. So, but that doesn't come until next October for this.
Yeah, your next round is right. What I understood. Yeah. That's what they conveyed to me.
David. So the council discussion, when we supported the filing of the grant application, we still left open what our position would be if the grant was awarded and it had to come back to the city for approval of the actual funds themselves. It's a two-step process. So we were open, at least the majority of us, to file the application. As we told Derek and the representative from Pacific Seafood, if they get the grant awarded to them, they have to come back to the city to get approval. And that will then require a separate decision, and several of us are still waiting to see what's going to be happening with some related litigation. There's some cloud over the title of the property and some other related issues, and we would like to see some clarity on that before we would ever move forward on this. And the representative of Pacific Seafood understood that. Mm-hmm. That was basically put on the record very clearly by several of us.
You dealing with Tony?
Yeah, was the Assistant General Counsel.
Yeah. Okay. No, those are good points. All right.
Just one announcement. If anyone needs a tune-up on ethics training, it's next door starting at 7.
No. Is that a hidden message there?
No, it's not for any of us. All
right. Mark and
Go now.
I've got kind of a 15-second good of the order closing. Everyone in this room, I mean, I can tell. I know most of you really well. We all work really hard, right? That it was a sight like no other to be seen watching Mr. Belmont operation last night. I mean, between personal testimony and even the counselors have forgotten a number of topics. He must have been talking, responding to questions, giving information, who knows what, for about 80% of the time.
You got an entire night bill for this.
You did actually say that at one point.
Mark, I felt like I had the night off.
So. I know. It was like incredible. Just like, wow, we didn't need to do anything. Wayne's got it all covered.
Well, Dean, and then we're done.
Seafood and Wine Festival starts tomorrow. It'll be a great time. Everybody should go.
There you go.
And again, I think this is a great example of different jurisdictions working together. A lot of common issues, and sometimes the progress seems slow, but we are making progress, and I think that's the value. So appreciate everybody's time, and wish you all a... I think it's kind of cold out there, so stay warm tonight. Thank you again.
No time for public comment.
Sure. Okay. We'll adjourn public comment.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I just made the point that it's on the agenda, so you should have called for it.
Fair enough. You're right.
We don't usually do it on the work meeting.
We have all the comments. It's on the agenda.
So what do you want to board meeting?
Oh, there's lots. I could come in. I'm going to let you get to ethics training.
Do you want to do it's actually on both agendas, so you can do it now or you can do it during constituent input during our board meeting. I'll let you choose. No, or you can do both.
It's fine. I don't have particular comments on anything.
Yeah.
I would say I have a conflict of interest on the Pacific. But on the housing, I would like to see more action, and it was actually that you're a new housing authority person. I did attend. There's a monthly housing meeting. And as she was there, I think it was the first time somebody from the housing authority has been attending that, and it's a good sign to have somebody be a little bit more active from the county housing authority. So appreciate that.
Appreciate your comments. Any other public comments? No? All right. Sorry, it is on the agenda. We're adjourned to second time.